In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel reading is the basis for our sermon this morning. A favorite hymn of many Christians, a well-known hymn, is the hymn Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That hymn was written by John Newton. Newton had grown up in a Christian home, but he left the faith he had learned as a young man, and he led a wayward life. Eventually, through a variety of circumstances and through the years, he came back to his faith in Christ. He became a pastor later on in life and a hymn writer. A number of his hymns are in our hymnal, but Amazing Grace is certainly his best known. The words of that hymn give a clear voice to what God has done for us in Christ. That grace which God bestows upon us, which is not earned, it is not deserved, it is simply given. Our God reaches out to us in the midst of our sin and our blindness. Yes, when this heart and flesh shall fail and mortal life shall cease, amazing grace shall then prevail in heaven's joy and peace. And that grace is truly amazing. It's an undeserved blessing, and it is a gift, and we are thankful for it, and we rejoice in it, until we realize that grace also applies to other people. People are all on board with God's grace and mercy when it comes to them, but then it follows that that also applies to others. And that's where we have trouble. Everyone thinks forgiveness is a great idea until they have something to forgive. And then it becomes a subject that can actually make us angry and upset. You mean I'm supposed to forgive those people who have done terrible things? What about murderers and child abusers and thieves and gossiping liars? Are we really supposed to forgive those people who have done terrible things to us? That just doesn't seem right. Hear what Jesus says. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. There is no other religion in the world which teaches its followers to love their enemies, except for Christianity. Muslims don't teach that. Buddhists don't teach that. Hindus don't teach that. There is no other religion in the world which teaches its followers to love their enemies. Why does our religion teach that? Because our Savior does that. And in our Savior doing that, in loving His enemies, He shows that our God is bigger than evil. Our God is bigger than wickedness and sin and evil. Our God is bigger than all of that. And that God is your Savior. Let's see how that worked out in a real life way for one family. Book of Genesis tells us about Jacob and his sons. Jacob had 12 sons, had different mothers for those sons, so it was a blended family. And Jacob had a favorite son. If you want to goof up your family, just show favoritism among your children. It's a recipe for disaster. Jacob's favorite son was Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite, and not only that, Joseph was a little bit arrogant at times, and he could be a snitch. And so his brothers hated him. They hated him so much they wanted to kill him. And so that's what they planned on doing. Joseph came out to see what his brothers were doing one day out in the fields. His brothers decided, this is going to be the end of Joseph. We're going to kill him. And then it dawned on them that they could actually get some money for him. If you kill him, well, they're not getting anything. So they thought, why don't we at least sell him? We'll get some money in our pocket. Human trafficking. It's all about the money. And so rather than killing Joseph, they sell their brother to some passing travelers. And then they tell their dad, we don't know what happened to Joseph. He must have gotten killed by a wild animal. Who knows? Now, it's not unheard of for siblings to not get along. You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family. But these brothers actually got rid of the brother they couldn't stand. They thought their problem was solved. Their brother was gone. They got some money to pocket out of the deal. And they thought that was the end of the story. It wasn't. Time goes by. Years go by. Joseph, through a series of circumstances, ends up being second in command in the land of Egypt. There's a famine. There's no food. Everybody from all the surrounding area has to go to Egypt to buy food, including Joseph's brothers. They go to Egypt to buy food. Guess who's in charge of selling the food? Joseph. Joseph recognizes his brothers. They don't recognize him. They have long since forgotten about him. What a great opportunity for Joseph to really stick it to him. What a chance for him to get revenge. He could have them disappear. No one would be any the wiser. He's a man of power. He's a man of influence. He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't do any of that. After his brothers make several trips back and forth to their home and to Egypt, and Joseph does mess with them a bit, he finally reveals himself. He says, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Notice that Joseph has not forgotten for a moment what his brothers had done to him. He even reminds them. But he doesn't hold it against them. Because Joseph had come to learn and to believe and have faith in a God who is bigger than all of that. A God who even worked through the evil that his brothers had done to him. A God who is gracious and merciful and who is bigger than wickedness. Now, that doesn't make what they did any less of a grievous sin. This episode does not minimize the danger and damage that sin does. But what it does do is it reminds us that our God is so great and so powerful that he can carry out his plan and purpose in spite of the evil and wickedness of men. When we refuse to forgive, when we continue to hold what people have done against us, against them, we are saying that evil and wickedness are the greatest power. That is not true. Jesus is the greatest power. Jesus is the greatest power, and he overcomes evil and wickedness by his death and resurrection. And that's why the cross of Jesus is the greatest picture of this. On the cross, Jesus suffered the worst the world had to throw at him. The worst suffering, the worst punishment. On the cross, Jesus suffered hell in our place. Jesus suffered the worst the devil, the world, and sin had to throw at him, and he overcame it. He overcame it by his death and resurrection. He suffered all of that in our place to remind us that he's the one that overcomes sin and wickedness and evil by His grace and mercy. It truly is a picture of love that endures all things, bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. The story of Joseph and his brothers is a real life example of how that came to play in one family. Nobody can make you not forgive them. When we refuse to forgive, that's a choice that we are making. And on the flip side, nobody can stop you from forgiving someone. If you decide to forgive someone, they are forgiven. No matter, even if they tell you not to, they can't stop you from forgiving them. Jesus says, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." And with those words, He calls you a child of God. When Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful," that means you're a son, a daughter of God. You're an heir. You stand to inherit all that belongs to God, which is everything. And that includes the ability to forgive. In yourself, you do not have the ability to forgive others as you should. But Jesus does. And as your Savior, He gives to you that ability to do that which you could never do on your own. You can forgive, not because you want to or are able to, but because your Heavenly Father tells you to and provides you with all that you need to do just that. His grace and His mercy. That, of course, means loving and forgiving some people that may have nothing lovable or forgivable about them. But then again, that's true for all of us. You love yourself, even though you know you're not always lovable. You love yourself because you are yourself. And so God intends us to love all selves in the same way, and for the same reason, He's already worked that all out. Forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. Joseph didn't let his brothers forget. But he set himself free from grudges by believing in a God who was bigger than all of that. A God whose grace and mercy transcends the most evil and wicked thing in this world. Be merciful, forgive, as indeed you have been forgiven and will continue to be forgiven. Don't rely on your own strength and power, but rely on the power that Jesus provides to you through His Word. You are a son and daughter of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.